The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Stevie Nicol here with you on the studio. Also joining us, we will be hearing from Julien Laurent, Frank Leboeuf and Jurgen Klinsmann. We are now one day removed from the news that Lionel Messi will not be continuing at Barcelona this morning. Barcelona president Joan Laporta spoke in a press conference. He said, "I do not want to generate false hope. During the course of negotiations, we've known of other offers for Messi. There was a time limit for us and for them because they need time. The leagues are starting. I'm not willing to mortgage the club for 50 years for anybody. The decision is made. There is no more margin. And the reason is financial fair play. We have a limit when it comes to player salaries." Gerard Piqué also has taken to Instagram. This is what he's written. "Nothing will ever be the same again. Not the Camp Nou, not the city of Barcelona, not ourselves. After more than 20 years in the club, you'll stop wearing the Barca shirt. Reality sometimes is very hard. You're leaving now, but I know one day you'll be back. There are still things to do. Have fun. Enjoy wherever you go and keep winning as only you know how to do. We're going to miss you here. I love you, Leo." Now, yesterday, Dan went round the panel and asked everybody where they saw him come kickoff in La Liga. And everybody said Barcelona, and that includes Jules. But it does seem as though 24 hours is a long time in football. That's something we know. Are you sticking with your prediction, Jules?
Oh, not anymore. I really thought, okay, that there was a big poker game started last night after that announcement, after the statements, after the details that was emerging about Messi, the contract situation, the salary cap, of course, that exists in La Liga, Javier Tebas, the battle between Barcelona, Laporta and Tebas, the new deal that La Liga has struck with CVC Capital, that equity firm as well. So all of that, but we still all thought that it could not end like this, that Messi just could not end up being a Barcelona player in that way, that somehow this could get resolved. And yet PSG were always around, and I explained that the contact between Messi and his family and PSG has always been on. They've always been talking since last summer, but certainly on Thursday night, those talks restarted in a far more serious way because the Messi clan was already looking for another club. And certainly today on Friday, all day, and trust me, I got up really early this morning, he hasn't stopped. And now we can say, and you know, it was breaking news in the last few hours that it's getting closer and closer for an agreement between Leo Messi, his father Jorge, and PSG for a three-year deal, two plus one, on huge money, of course. But suddenly what looked like a dream even 2 days ago of Messi wearing another shirt than the Barcelona ones and maybe coming one day to Paris is now far more reality than anything else.
Frank, do you think this is the best option for Messi then at this stage, that to go to Paris Saint-Germain and play with those players around him?
Of course it is. He has many friends. First, you know, we saw lately a fantastic picture about him with Di Maria, Verratti, Paredes and Neymar. He knows mostly everybody, and of course he's going to be more than welcome. If there is a club being able to win the Champions League, and Leo Messi is a competitor, is of course Paris Saint-Germain. Only two clubs, I think, maybe three with Chelsea, but more likely two. It's Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain who can afford to have Lionel Messi on top of all the stars they have. But what a lineup at front. Even if not everything will be resolved, especially in the middle of the park, and I'm still concerned about Paris Saint-Germain, everybody and all Paris Saint-Germain fans are dreaming about that front line, and that would be fantastic. And I live 10 minutes away from the Parc des Princes, and I never seen Messi playing in life. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him if he comes, and I'm for sure going to go to the Parc des Princes to see him playing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Stevie, what a team that would be.
Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty tasty, certainly going forward. They're definitely strengthened in the middle of the park as well. And with Donnarumma in goal, they've really taken a step up in every part of the team. I would suggest that this is absolutely the perfect move for Messi. He can go and play because this side will not have to play from the first minute to the last minute every single time they step on the field in the domestic league. And I think physically that'll suit him. I'm just a little surprised that a guy called Pep Guardiola hasn't been on the phone and said, you know what, if we can't get Harry Kane or if we're not getting Harry Kane, I'll play with a false nine. He would be fantastic at City. But I just think the physical side of the Premier League would go against him. So this is absolutely perfect for him. And as you said, he's playing with all his mates. It's going to be like playing in the school playground for Messi.
Yeah, and obviously they'll be loving the chance to play with him if this is to happen. Have you been surprised by everything that's gone on over the last 24 hours, Jürgen, to see, or the potential to see Lionel Messi in a domestic shirt other than Barcelona's?
No, not really surprised, because obviously the discussion is going on since weeks, and it's not only a battle anymore between the big powerhouses, you know, if it's Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Bayern Munich and Man City, just to name a few of them. It's a battle between the leagues, and it started a bit years ago with Neymar joining PSG for a crazy amount of money. We thought it is never ever possible to do something like that. Then came the Ronaldo deal, you know, for him into Italy. So the Italian Serie A kind of called itself back in the market. And now we see this. I mean, if this is really going through, Messi leaving Spain, this will be a tragedy for the Spanish La Liga. It's just as simple as that, because he's the guy that sells out the stadiums, you know, is the most attractive player in the world to watch. So this is a huge, huge, huge deal. And it will, if it's then Paris Saint-Germain at the end of the day, it will catapult the Ligue 1 into almost in the top ranks. I mean, it will compete with the Premier League from one moment to another, because Messi carries so many pieces on his own shoulders. Not only that he's the best player, but also, you know, with his image, with his charisma. It's going to be unbelievable if it all goes through the way we kind of look at it right now.
Jules, what does this mean for La Liga and for Barcelona? Will this be seen as a disaster?
I think it is. And there's just no other word. It's the fact that after Cristiano Ronaldo leaving, after Neymar leaving, and now Messi, or Neymar first, then Cristiano, then Messi, it's just... It's the end of an era, that's for sure. But we knew that was coming. But again, not like this. And even 2 days ago, we thought he's going to come back from his holidays. He's going to sign his new deal, which was all agreed before. And again, I mean, of course, the previous team at the helm of Barcelona, Bartomeu and his team, obviously messed up things so massively. I mean, on the scale that I don't think people really realized. But yeah, Joan Laporta at some point has to take some responsibility and some blame from the fact that how can you agree a new deal with Messi and then when you look at the numbers, you realize that you're over the salary cap and you can't actually do it, that you can't sign him. Unless there's something that happened and we don't know yet in terms of maybe Messi then asking for more money or more commission or I don't know, something. But apart from that, I don't understand how you get from, yeah, we've all agreed a deal, we're going to sign it on Thursday, to Messi going to PSG on a free. This is crazy. But for Barcelona, and I know Laporta said there's no player bigger than the club. Well, I think Messi was bigger than Barcelona, and he's been for the last 15 years. And I just think that I don't know where they're going to go now or how they're going to do. But it's a huge blow for them that they can take a long time to recover from.
Jules, do you think there are any moves going on behind the scenes with La Liga and at Barcelona to actually try and reverse all of this and ensure that Messi does stay on?
Yeah, I really thought, Kay. I thought until an hour ago when too many people were telling me, you know, he's going to go to Paris, he's decided that he wants to play for PSG. And I think if Messi decides, I want to join PSG, I want to go and play with Neymar and Paredes and Di Maria, three of his best friends, this is where I want to go. There's no stopping him now. PSG will find an agreement, a full agreement very soon with his father. They're going to meet in Nice over the weekend or maybe on Monday, and this is going to happen. And I think now it's too late. I really thought that La Liga could not afford to lose Messi, and that at some point Javier Tebas had to do something. I really didn't think that Laporta would almost give up so easily, in a way, on Leo Messi. And yet, I think it's really happening now. But yeah, I really thought something would change very quickly, and another U-turn, but in the other way, for him to be able to stay in Barcelona.
And if it is really happening, Frank, does it make PSG instant favourites for the Champions League?
Of course, of course. But you cannot deny that Manchester City will compete very, very hardly, and Bayern Munich also. Liverpool is going to be back. Just to please Stevie, but I really think so. Chelsea is going to defend their title, so there will be other clubs, and the front line is absolutely fantastic. But I still, unlike Stevie, I still have question marks about the middle of the park, where the midfield zone is not completed by a real midfield defender for me. And there's been the real problem for almost a decade for Paris Saint-Germain. But they, of course, have all the players, because don't forget Hakimi came, Ramos is there, Donnarumma is there. So it's a fantastic squad. I don't know if they're going to find the chemistry, but it's fantastic. And let's see how it works. I just want to go back to Barcelona. Yes, it's a catastrophe right now. But let's see a little bit further, within maybe 2, 3, 4 years, you have the emergence of some new players like Ricky Puig, Pedri, Ansu Fati. Maybe it's a time to collapse for Barcelona, maybe also for La Liga, because we see that we're at the end of a cycle for Real Madrid, to maybe see a rebirth. At the end of the day, we all agreed to see that a team cannot be built around a star, because we saw that the last four winners of the Champions League have been teams and not a star surrounded by a team. So maybe it's a time for Barcelona to think, you know, differently, stopping spending money like crazy for Griezmann, Dembele, and others. Maybe see the youth, try to work that way, and recreate how Barcelona was born. By young players getting into a philosophy of football. That's how Barcelona got big. And that's maybe the time to do that.
Can you see that being a bright side there, Jürgen, then, in that they do have to look forward now, and they do have to have, as Frank's saying, something of a rebirth?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's not over yet. You know, we still have to wait a couple of days, because even if they're in talks now with Paris Saint-Germain, I mean, it's talks, you know, so like anything can happen there as well. You know, they can walk out of the room and, you know, and the whole thing blows up and they start from zero on again. And so let's see how it all plays out in terms of if he really leaves or not. But it is definitely an opportunity for any team that loses a big player is to kind of rebuild their philosophy and refocus on what really kind of made that club so big. And as Frank said rightfully, I mean, Barcelona was built on the Cruyff philosophy, the total football philosophy, with an amazing amount of movement off the ball, the passing and the dribbling skills and their own academy brought out all those players one at a time and created that amazing club over the last 20-25 years that we all admire. So, you know, if now obviously the big leader and the head figure leaves potentially Barcelona, that is the moment to rethink this whole strategy and, you know, get not only the club into order financially, but also from a philosophical point of view, you know, get them back on track, what they really kind of stand for. And that was the Cruyff philosophy.
Stevie, where do you stand on that? Because there's still a lot of good players left at Barcelona. Obviously, none of them are ever going to be Lionel Messi. But you've got, as was mentioned, Pedri coming through. Well, I'm saying coming through. He's already made his mark there. Antoine Griezmann, this could change everything for him. What do you think of Barca without Messi?
This is a toss of a coin, whether they'll sink or swim. Yes, the likes of Pedri, they're fantastic players. But when you have a reputation that Barcelona have, and that reputation is being put on, A, the young players straight away, and a guy who just hasn't produced, and a guy who more than likely will be under the most pressure, and Antoine Griezmann. So it's a nice dream to think that the young players will come along and everything will be nice and they'll bring them back up. It doesn't work that way. This is a real tough period in their history, whether they sink or swim. And right now, you've got to think they're going to sink. I think this is going to be long. You know, Frank's saying 3 or 4 years. If they're lucky, 3 or 4 years, I think this will take an awful lot longer.
Jules, what do you think about Antoine Griezmann? Does this mean, actually, it could be a positive thing for him? It could be his team now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think there's still a long way before this team is his team. And it's strange to say that Messi leaving is a good thing for Antoine Griezmann, because he isn't. He clearly isn't. Messi leaving is not a good thing for anyone at that club. And Griezmann also joined Barcelona to play with Leo Messi, not to replace him or not to wait for him to go so he can shine. That was not the idea. But certainly they will have to find another way of playing now. The patterns of play, a lot of what that team was doing was centered on Messi. Of course, he's one of the greatest ever. So if you have him in your team, every ball goes through him, everything goes through him. Now, collectively, they need to rethink pretty much everything, even the formation. What system do you play now that Messi is gone? You don't really have to play the 4-3-3 that we've been accustomed to at Barcelona anymore. You can do different things if you want. You can play Depay and Griezmann up front on their own in a 4-4-2 if you want. So there's all of that they need to think about again and find the best formula, the best way. Of course, I think Griezmann could be a key player for them, like Memphis Depay, like Pedri, like the boys have been saying. But certainly, it's a lot of responsibilities now. Whoever will be identified, if you want, as the next boss of this team, if you want, and that could be Busquets, it could be Piqué, but it could be other players as well. This comes with a lot of responsibility, because this will always be the team in the post-Messi era, which again, we never saw, we would see that they're coming, but it's there now. And I think it's a big burden to carry too.
Well, things could be about to get very difficult for Antoine Griezmann, Frank. You were telling me ahead of the show that some of the blame has been pointed towards him.
Yes, yeah, it's a huge task first, because you take the place of the king, one of the best players in the world, if he's not the best. And you will have to seduce the fans. Griezmann signed 2 years ago, and so far he hasn't been fantastic. He has some excuses because he normally plays where Messi played. And so if Messi goes, because we still don't know if it's true or not, Griezmann would have to step up. But the fans, I've considered, and he's been booed lately in the training session by the fans, because they think that if Messi goes, it's because of Griezmann, mostly because of his wage, more than his position and in his talent, but because he cannot go like other players, like Coutinho maybe, like maybe Umtiti or some others, and the amount and the total of wages of players staying where maybe they shouldn't because they didn't perform well, made... Or pushed Messi to go to another club. So it's going to be a double task for Griezmann. First, prove that he's a fantastic player, and I have no doubt about that. But also being able to create a leadership around him. Some people are going to stick to his leadership and seduce everybody to be successful.
Jürgen, that's a huge burden to be playing with for Antoine Griezmann if it does turn out this way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But at the moment you step on the field for a club like Barcelona or Man City or Chelsea, you know, these big, big, big powerhouses, you are aware of that. You know, you are able to deal with that pressure. You are aware of what people kind of expect from you, if it's the fans, if it's in the media. In a certain way, it's also a reward. You know, you are there to represent one of the biggest clubs in the world, and you get that opportunity to show that week in, week out. I think this is a huge opportunity, if it happens now that way, for Antoine Griezmann. The other thing is certainly, you know, what we can kind of a little bit discuss as well is, you know, what are Messi's real goals over the next couple of years, you know? One thing is the club decision now, obviously, that he has to solve, and if he stays or he goes. The other thing is, you know, he has to win a World Cup. He has to go to Qatar and deliver a World Cup to his beloved Argentina. So he made his first big step now with the Copa America, finally, winning the Copa America after such a long time and bringing it to Argentina. So his overall, basically, purpose over the next 1.5 years is really to focus on Argentina and bringing home that World Cup to be ever kind of regarded as on the same level as Diego Armando Maradona. So this is also an interesting aspect of it. You know, is it really the most important thing for him right now, the club decision, or is it, you know, to focus on Qatar, which is just 16, 17 months away from now?
And you wonder also, Jules, if he'll play a part in encouraging Mbappe to stay around a little longer, because if Mbappe knows he's going to be playing alongside Lionel Messi, surely that changes his future plans, doesn't it?
That's right, Kay. This is certainly a feeling of some people inside the club, which we reported today on the website as well, is that the one reason why Kylian hasn't signed yet the extension that is on the table for him is nothing to do with the money. It's more that he says he wants to be in the best team possible, and that could be Real Madrid or Liverpool or Man City or whatever. And I think that if Messi does come to Paris, that changed that whole narrative, because, I mean, you would want to stay and play for as long as possible with Messi in your team and with Neymar and then with all the other new signing that the club has made. And I think certainly in Paris there's that sense of, instead of almost pushing Mbappe out because of, I don't know, financial reasons or something, it's the other around. It's encouraging him to stay a bit longer, just a bit longer, because Messi will be there for 2 years, three maximum, and that's it. But at least you would think that Mbappe would want to play for as long as Messi is at the club, because it must be also a dream for every single player to play one day with either Ronaldo and Messi. Ronaldo, that will never happen for Mbappe. Messi, this is the chance. So there's certainly a bit more optimism now if Messi joins, over Mbappe's extension, over the fact that he might want to stick around just one more year maybe and sign that short extension that the club are now offering and say, look, we can have Neymar, you and Messi for just 2 or 3 years, stay with us. Then we let you go, of course, and you can even go on a free if you have just extended for 2 years, for example. But surely this is worth you staying. And I'm sure Mbappe would say that way too.
Frank, what does it mean for Liga if Messi does go there?
For Ligue 1, what does it mean? It's huge. It's a big change. It's a worldwide project. I mean, the Ligue 1 is becoming, you know, I don't know if the Premier League will stay the first, but the Ligue 1 will be just behind, for sure. The amount of rights is gonna grow like crazy. Everybody will want to see Messi playing. I can't imagine seeing Messi playing in Strasbourg or Metz or I don't know, Gangnam. That's crazy. That's really crazy. But of course, everybody around the world would love to see Messi playing for Paris Saint-Germain and therefore see Paris Saint-Germain playing. It's going to be huge. I'm myself excited to go next week to the Parc des Princes because I might see Messi. That says a lot, you know. I did a lot in football, but I'm like a kid, you know. When you see that lineup, when you see that team, I was the captain of Marseille, but I want to see Paris Saint-Germain playing because that's fantastic to see those talents in the same squad.
Now, they obviously didn't win the title last season, Jürgen, but when it does come to the French top flight and you do have a player like Lionel Messi coming in, what does it mean for them? Does it matter that it is often criticised as being a one-team league for right or wrong reasons?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's you go there for winning, you know, and the message is clear. If really Lionel Messi decides to go to Paris and this is going to happen, that means that Pochettino has to deliver 3 trophies. You know, it's the French Championship, the French Cup, and the Champions League. As simple as that. And this is what you're used to when you play for these type of big clubs. It's when you go to Bayern Munich, at least 2 out of 3 titles you have to win. Otherwise, it was an unsuccessful season. With one title, that doesn't mean anything to clubs like that. So Pochettino knows that if he gets Messi, he has to deliver 3 titles.
It's an interesting situation, isn't it? Pochettino just finally just getting on with his work and suddenly it's, oh, you might be coaching Lionel Messi, by the way.
Because he realises he's in charge of the Harlem Globetrotters. I'll tell you, I actually hadn't thought about, you know, Jürgen was talking about Argentina. I hadn't even crossed my mind. But this is perfect for Messi. This is actually even better for Messi than if he stayed at Barcelona, because he would still have had the whole club on his shoulders. Whereas he goes to PSG, you know, physically, it's not going to be as demanding for them, which means that Qatar, to a 34-year-old, sometimes 2 years is just too far. But he'll physically be able to save some energy, no question, and he'll still have some legs left when that World Cup comes round. Because as much as we all know that he is maybe the best ever, he's probably still angry at everybody that questions him, like Shaka Hislop. So this is perfect for him, absolutely perfect.
Frank, would you agree with that this is the perfect situation for Messi?
Yeah, it is. And I totally agree with Stevie, because I think about Di Maria, because I was looking at your lineup, and we didn't see Di Maria, who was maybe the best player last season. So it will be there, and he's going to play when maybe Messi doesn't play, but they're going to have a turnover, I think. And everywhere you're going to see other players, because Kimpembe is not in the first 11, but I think it will be a turnover between also Ramos, Marquinhos and him. And it's the perfect squad for the top players to be able to play in a top club, to play maybe only the big games, and therefore being able to play with our national teams and being good, consistent and performant. So yeah, it is. And as Stevie said, you know, he had all the club on his shoulder in Barcelona. If he signs for Paris Saint-Germain, he will share that pressure with all other stars.
Obviously, it's hard to think of that, Lionel Messi just being another player in another team, because it will never be the case. But it is a good point about the pressure, because Messi dependency was always talked about at Barcelona, and that he almost felt the burden of having to win for the team so many times, Stevie. But it's a good point that he raises, Frank, there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, every result that we get from Barcelona, the first thing in your head is, well, how many did Messi score, or why did Messi not score, or why did Messi not assist, you know? Yes, we know the defence isn't that great, but why didn't Messi take them forward and score more than the opposition? So every single thing is Messi, Messi, Messi. And to have that spread around, I mean, just, he probably won't be thinking that way, because in his head, he wants to be fantastic every single time he steps on the field, which is why he's Lionel Messi. But I think probably after 3 or 4 months, he'll realise that, you know what, I actually feel a little bit more relaxed now. I don't feel under as much pressure. And, of course, the other great thing is, you know, at Paris Saint-Germain, you go to Di Maria last year and go, oh, by the way, you're not playing, so-and-so is playing. You're like, hold on a second. Now you go, Di Maria, you're not playing. Oh, why is that? Messi's playing. OK, fine, no bother. You know, so everything calms down. Everything calms down all round the field, not just for Messi.
Yeah, because obviously everybody wants to play with Lionel Messi. Jürgen, if you were Barcelona in La Liga, what would you be doing right now to try and convince this player to stick around?
Well, I think crazy things happen already over the last, you know, years, you know, in the financial world, you know, that we never thought it could happen in the world of football. But as long as there's 0.1% of a chance to keep Lionel Messi at Barcelona, I would give it all. I would try it, you know. I mean, they came up, you know, obviously with these investment people, a crazy amount of money thrown around there. You know, I'm sure that there are ways, you know, to kind of get this salary cap issue under control. There are always ways, you know, if you badly want something. But at the end of the day, people are responsible for the outcome. Laporte is responsible of whatever happens now in the future of this huge, amazing club, Barcelona. So it's a tough one. But I would keep on going, negotiating, and I would try to find a way to still keep him at Barcelona. And if he, at the end of the day, really, really goes, then so be it.
So let's talk about keeping him at Barcelona, Jules. You know we like to get percentage chances here on ESPN FC. What's the percentage chance that he does remain or stay on, re-sign with Barcelona?
Right now, and I'm sorry for all the Barca fans watching us, but it has to be really low. This is the way it is. They had their chance for whatever reasons, again, whether they did the math wrong, whether there was a late new request or new demand from Messi and his clan. I don't know, but they missed their chance. This is it. I think I think it would be almost a miracle for them if there's another U-turn in the other way and he stays. So I would say 5%, and I think by 5% I'm quite generous.
So just to like put a finer point on it then, Jules, let's take a look at the timeline over the next few days, what we're expecting to see. You talked about his father and PSG and these meetings planned. What can we expect over the coming days?
Yes, of course. So they will keep talking. I'm being told there's still a few details to sort out, like image rights, for example. The structure of deals are very different from one country to another. You deal with image rights differently if you're in Barcelona than if you're in Paris. So there's things like this. This is a huge contract, even if he's a free agent and there's no transfer fee to pay. They only take away the selling club, if you want, or the departing club. But there's still this is a huge contract because it's Messi. So this is not going to be sorted out in one day or even 2 days. So they will be talking more. Then there will be this physical meeting between the PSG hierarchy and Jorge Messi and probably Messi's brother as well. I think very likely Nice on Monday, maybe on Sunday. And then certainly PSG, our sources in Paris seem to think that things could get then really, really quick towards a full agreement and Messi signing, Messi being announced. And you can just imagine, I think they will break the internet. They will break every social media platform. This would break anything, not because it's PSG, but because it's Messi changing clubs, which is something that, again, we never thought we would see in our lifetime. But yet Messi will play for another team if that happens. So you could expect the most optimistic sources were saying midweek, next week, the deal could be done. It could happen, and then Messi could be training with PSG. I don't know if Frank would be lucky enough to see him next weekend for their first home game at the Parc des Princes, but you can just imagine that now the whole PSG marketing machine, if Messi signs, will start going. Prices of boxes will go much, much higher now at the Parc des Princes. Tickets as well, there will be all the shirt sellings, all the sponsorship deals that are currently existing, the new ones with new brands who would want to come and join the club because of Messi, the current one that you want to renegotiate because Messi has arrived. All of this will also happen in the next few days and few weeks. It's going to be a crazy time.
A bigger attraction than the Eiffel Tower, no doubt. So, Jules, we already asked you this, but we're just going to get everybody to say it again. 24 hours later, where Lionel Messi is going to be on September 1st. We will start with you, Jules.
It would be in Paris now, I really believe. I never thought I would say it and it would actually happen. But now, as more time goes, I really believe that he will be a PSG player.
OK, Frank?
Yeah, I go with Jules. I mean, I don't see him staying in Barcelona again. Piqué would be a fantastic liar. The chairman of Barcelona would be a fantastic liar. All who send him a message to say good luck are part of the conspiracy if he stays to Barcelona. I don't see him. I don't see him going to Manchester City. And I guess the only club who can really afford and please Messi at the same time is Paris Saint-Germain.
September 1st, Jürgen, where is Lionel Messi going to be playing?
Well, I think in Paris.
OK, so there's three for Paris. Stevie, would you agree with the three guys?
100%.
Oh, that's a change from everybody in just 24 hours.
What old sheep.
Let's see what they all say tomorrow. It is true, it's not the same people, but you were on yesterday, Jules, and you've had your mind changed very quickly, but understandably so as well. Listen, lots more transfer talk over on the website, ESPN.com. Check it out over there for all the latest Lionel Messi news.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change.
Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. The plot thickens in the Harry Kane situation. This is what he's said recently. While I won't go into the specifics on the situation, I want to clarify that I would never and have never refused to train. I will be returning to the club tomorrow, Saturday, as planned. So this is a bit of a change that we're seeing here with this situation. Jules, what's happened? Do you believe him?
Well, I believe that he was due to report on Monday. I know his statement says differently, but he also said, I don't want to go into details here. They were expecting him on Monday. He had, as you do on your first day when you come back from holidays, the boys will tell you that you have to go through a lot of fitness tests and you do a lot of things. You don't go straight into training with the ball. And that's what he was supposed to do on Monday. The fact that he was not there, he didn't turn up, he's going to get fined for it. You don't get fined if you haven't made a mistake, so it's as simple as that. I can understand his point of view now, and clearly the anger from the fans have got to him, and he felt that he had to do something, say something. But the fact is, he was due back on Monday. He wasn't. He will only come back on Saturday, which is 5 days later, and that's just the mistake. That's not what he was supposed to do. So he can come up with any statement that he wants. He was due on Monday. He's only reporting on Saturday. And that's where the issue is.
Jules said, Jürgen, that as Harry had said, it hurts him to read those comments questioning his professionalism. As a former Spurs striker, you're not questioning his professionalism because you do think that he's telling the truth in this situation, right?
Absolutely, because there's no reason for Harry Kane not saying the truth. There's no reason for him. There's nothing to gain for him to say, okay, I should have Kim come in a couple of days later or whenever. No, the fact is, he was expected to be there tomorrow, Saturday, back in training, and he presents himself tomorrow back in training. I spoke to a lot of people at Tottenham, former teammates of mine as well. And what really makes me sad is that there's a zero communication between Harry Kane and the owner. And the owner and then, obviously, then the general manager Paratici and the coaching staff. Here we're talking about a player that the last 10 years gave everything, but absolutely everything for his club, brought them all the way to the Champions League final and delivered every single year. And why should he now come up and make up something because of a couple of days early or later? That makes no sense at all. So I can really only hope that both sides get on a table as soon as possible and I have a cup of coffee and talk things out. Because if they don't talk things out quickly, and I really admire it actually in Harry Kane's situation, he has his own brother representing him as an agent. He doesn't have one of these super agents that won 30% of the deal. No, it's his own brother basically sitting with you on a table and discussing the future. And if there was a gentleman agreement between Harry Kane and Daniel Levy that he could leave in certain situations the club, then I totally believe that Harry Kane. They need to get together. They need to sit down and they need to talk it out, but as soon as possible, because if every day they lose on this whole thing, they're both losing. So it's a lose-lose situation right now. So I hopefully they can clean it all up as quickly as possible.
On the same token, though, Jürgen, did his brother make a mistake in not putting a release clause in a long contract like that?
Well, maybe, they think they have a release clause because they have a gentleman's agreement. They have their word. Years ago, Stevie and Frank, they know that, a handshake deal with an owner was a contract. It was totally a contract. Nowadays, there are legal departments battling it out, and everybody needs to be in writing. So I think that if Harry Kane had that guarantee from Daniel Levy and say, in these circumstances, you are allowed to leave the club because of what you've done for the club. For 10 years, then I think, you know, you as a player, as a young person, you believe that gentleman. No, but it all changed a couple of months ago with the Superliga approach from these 12 owners that basically wanted to create their own league, you know, and were lying to all of their coaching staffs and all of their players. And now you have in the industry, you have a huge mistrust. There's a huge mistrust between owners and then the coaching staffs and the players. And in the middle of all these are agents that fill up their pockets. So it is a very tricky situation, the Harry Kane situation. And I just only hope that they figure out a way, you know, hop in a cab, you know, in London, meet us somewhere, you know, behind closed doors. Yeah, and find a solution.
And it's proven to be tricky up north as well at Manchester City, where Pep Guardiola had this to say. He's a player for Tottenham Hotspur, and if Tottenham don't want to negotiate, it's finished. I think Man City and many clubs in the world want to try to sign him. We are not an exception, but it depends on Tottenham. Frank, do you blame Spurs for this situation?
I blame both, because, you know, even if Jürgen find that having a brother as an agent is a good thing, so maybe it's a good thing, but his brother made a rookie mistake where you don't sign for 6 years when you're Harry Kane and you have hopes of getting some lines and cups, you know, at the end in your resume. And on another end, I think, it's... It's important for Harry Kane now to leave, especially if he had a word from Mr. Levy. But you also rookie mistake. Maybe you don't have to believe what Mr. Levy doesn't sign if it's just a word, because we had that kind of argument with about Matt Modric, about Bale, that Mr. Levy gave the words. You say you can go, we shake hands, you can go, but they didn't. They had to fight. So. He should have been warned about that. And if it was the case that before, as Jürgen said, that just shaking hands with the chairman was kind of a contract, it's not anymore like that. And I don't know who lies and who says the truth, but they really have to meet. They really have to sit down around the table and talk about what the future of Harry Kane at Spurs or not, because it's becoming ridiculous right now. And can put Harry Kane in a very bad situation, because if he stays... it will look stupid, but where he can go? Where he could go now? He can go to Manchester City. He's not going to go to Paris Saint-Germain. I don't think he's going to go to Chelsea, because they're going to get maybe Lukaku. What is the only club who can afford Harry Kane is Manchester City. But as Guardiola said, he's not done yet.
Jürgen, is it frustrating to watch this situation for Harry Kane?
Yeah, absolutely. It's frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating for his teammates as well, you know, because they want to move on. They want to have a clear idea, you know, if Harry stays on board or not. I mean, he's the captain of the team. He's the captain of England. He just got England into the Euro finals against Italy. So he's a huge, huge, huge decision. And therefore, also for him, I mean, if he remains at White Hart Lane, then hopefully he remains at White Hart Lane, you know, with 100%. Of his mindset, you know, because it's going to be difficult for him going into another year and another season if they don't win from the beginning on their games and they stay in the top three or four in the Premier League. Then, you know, he will lose focus. He will lose also quality, and time runs out because he's not the youngest anymore and he wants to win trophies. So it's a big moment. That's why I'm saying, you know, the sooner they get that clarified, the better.
Pep seems to be implying, Julian, then, in that quote, that the fault is lying with Spurs. They are the ones that don't seem to be negotiating. He is saying that it is finished if they won't negotiate. Will it be finished if that's the case?
I mean, Pep Guardiola also said that they will never spend 100 million on a player, and they've just done that with Jack Grealish. So this is all mind games, of course. It's all part of this poker game. This is a poker game, again, between Tottenham, Harry Kane, Charlie Kane, of course, who, by the way, was not his agent when he signed his six-year deal in 2018, who could not put a release clause in it, and Manchester City. The whole thing, though, is if City offer, which we believe is what happened before the Euros, £100 million for Harry Kane, there's no way Spurs are going to let him go for that. The gentleman agreement, again, as we've been saying on the show, is for the right value of Harry Kane is not to let him go on a cheap or at a discount price. If Jack Grealish is worth £100 million, Harry Kane is worth 150. That's the money that Spurs want. And I think you have to understand why Daniel Levy would stand quite firm on that valuation, because I think, pandemic or not, this is the price for Harry Kane. So unless City get close to that and forget about the 100 million mark that they clearly have in their mind right now, if they get close to 150, then no problem. I think you can easily make a deal at 120 and have some bonuses that can go up to 140, for example. And yet, then Levy and Spurs will listen. They won't listen at 100 million because that would not be fair on them, because that's not the value of Harry Kane right now.
So as Jules said, it wasn't his brother at the time, but you do wonder why a release clause wasn't put into it. This is the possible Manchester City starting 11 with Harry Kane in it.
Well, I mean, that's, for a Man City fan, that looks fantastic. But right now, does it really seem as though this is going to happen? I mean, there's a lot of blame to be given out on both sides. But I've got to say, the one thing that strikes me is, if you're Tottenham Hotspur and you want to keep Harry Kane, why do you turn round and say he was supposed to be in today when you know all that's going to do is create a storm and make things worse? We're talking about some phone calls here. You speak to Harry Kane 2 or 3 days, because you have to think of everything. You speak to Harry Kane 2 or 3 days previous to when you think he's supposed to be there and say, are you going to be there? And Harry Kane's going to say, well, no, I'm coming next Saturday. So then you don't... this whole sandstorm doesn't begin.
Yeah, which is what Jürgen was saying. Why have they let this situation happen to him? Why has there not been this communication?
Well, it's madness. You know, clubs these days have got so many people in every single position. There's 3 and 4 for every single thing that goes on, and they still can't get this right. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're causing problems for themselves. And again, the number one thing they should be doing is trying to make Harry Kane happy, trying to persuade him, trying to do things to make him want to stay at the club. So doing this is absolute madness. This ain't going to help one iota.
Another player who could be on the move is Romelu Lukaku. The dialogue is said to be open between Inter and Chelsea in talks to reach a deal for the player. What do you make of this, Jürgen?
Well, I mean, I would be really sad if that happens, because, I mean, Lukaku really broke through big time the last two seasons with Inter Milan, and especially last season winning the Scudetto. He was the biggest part of that process under Antonio Conte. If he would leave now back to the Premier League, well, it's understandable in a certain way, because obviously Chelsea is a big club, no doubt about it. But, I mean, there's something to be built right now at Inter Milan. You know, the team is looks solid, has a lot of quality, has a point to prove now in the Champions League, where they failed still last year. This is the moment now to do the next step at Inter Milan. Now, if he would leave really then so quickly, it would be disappointing, in my opinion.
Jürgen, as a striker, how much has he evolved in the last couple of seasons at Inter?
Oh, say that again, Kay, please.
How much has he evolved in his role as a striker in the last couple of years at Inter?
Yeah, no, he evolved into a real leader. I mean, Romelu Lukaku, the last two seasons, it was just wonderful to see how he started to improve his link-up game, you know, the combination play with his teammates, the understanding with Martinez up front. But also he became a leader of the gang. I mean, he carried that team almost, you know, on his shoulders to the Scudetto, to that championship that the Inter fans were waiting almost 10 years for. So he's huge for the team, for the club, but also for the fans, because the fans really identify with him a lot. And so now is, I mean, after you delivered the first big piece with the championship, the fans expect you to stay on and now deliver us the Champions League. You know, make something happen at least in the Champions League, and let's go possibly in the Final Four, because they love him. You know, and I don't see a reason why. What point does he have to prove going back to Chelsea or back to the Premier League at this point in his career? I mean, when he's just really kind of building something special in Italy.
Yeah, obviously doesn't have any point to prove, but he may feel as though he does have a point to prove back in the Premier League. Stevie, maybe you haven't always been his biggest fan, mm-hmm. but do you see him as the right fit at Chelsea?
Well, there's no question that he's going to score more than 7 goals that Jorginho got last year. And if you get a guy who will score 15 to 20, and he'll probably score 20, with the amount of chances that Chelsea create, certainly they created last year, unfortunately Timo Werner couldn't take them, so you'd have to think that Lukaku would take them. And if I'm Lukaku, I'm absolutely getting out of Dodge. Get out of Inter, because they've already told anybody who wants to listen that, you know what, we're all about survival now. We're not about winning the title. And when you rip the heart out of you rip the heart out of the club by taking away Conte, because with every team that wins, there's somebody has got everybody on their toes every second they step through the front door. And that's what Conte had. Now, I don't know Inzaghi that well, but I don't think he's got that incredible desire and emotion and everything that Conte puts into it to get every single thing out of the players he did last year. When you take that away and basically tell everybody, as I said, that, you know what, we're going to sell players, that's just giving in. So if I'm Lukaku, I'm getting on the plane if I get the chance.
Yeah, and he knew how much he was wanted by Conte as well, as I'm sure he would be by most managers. Frank, do you like this move for your former club? They do need a clinical goal scorer.
Yeah, they do, because Chelsea achieves a fantastic season with the Champions League, but we've been clever enough to understand that offensively, they had many, many problems. And of course, Lukaku, as Steve mentioned, is going to score more goals and going to put a more solid situation for the forward. It must be emotionally very, very hard for him, because we all know, people who know Lukaku and know the history, he's a big fan of Chelsea. Always been, and it was his dream to sign for Chelsea. He did. It didn't work, then left, then came back, and it didn't work again. So he had to leave and sign for Inter, and has been successful and very creative and performant. And now he has to leave again. I'm sure he must have a very hard feeling of having to leave Inter, where you're going to play the Champions League, but at the same time being very happy to go back to his favorite team, knowing that he hasn't been successful with them, hasn't been performing, but wants to fight the challenge. So I'm pleased. I think he evolved a lot. He's not the player that I saw when he was playing for Chelsea. If he comes to Chelsea, I wish him to be as good as he was when he played for Inter. So we're going to see it, but it's going to be very, very interesting.
Jules, it is that time in the discussion where we ask you to give a percentage chance of Lukaku going back to Chelsea.
For me, it's 100%. I'm sorry. I know they're still discussing and we're nowhere near an agreement yet. But this one will happen because everybody wants it to happen. Chelsea, Inter, who need the money. Unfortunately for them, this is a sad situation for Inter, but they need that money. Like, they needed the Hakimi money. It's the same. And Lukaku wants that move. So, yet they haven't found a full agreement on the transfer fee and the structure of the deal, but they will eventually, because that's all they want. So they all want the same thing. So I really think it will happen, and I think it would be a great signing for Lukaku and for Chelsea and for Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah, 100%. And there is 100% chance that Frank, Jules and Stevie will be answering your questions on Extra Time today. You can catch it every day over on our YouTube page. It is the curtain raiser for the Premier League season. A community shield between Leicester City, the winners of the FA Cup, and Man City, the winners of the Premier League last season. And this game will be available on ESPN Plus. You can catch it with John Champion and Danny Higginbottom on the call. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Huge congratulations to Canada in the women's gold medal game. They scooped the gold medal in a penalty shootout against Sweden. It didn't look as though it was going to go Canada's way, but fortune favored them in the end, and they atop the podium. Wonderful stuff for them. Monaco against Nantes, kicking off Ligue 1 today. A share of the spoils with a goal for each side. Monaco opening the scoring. Nantes finding the equaliser. Both goals coming in the first half. And these are the stats from that. So football is back underway and we are happy to have it. We'll always be talking about
when,
it.
When does it stop?
When does it? I know, when does it stop? Who's going to win Ligue 1?
Ligue 1? Can you get back to me? I need to think. I need a lot. I need to study this. It's going to be tight.
Never know. Might be Lille again.
Could be PSG. You never know.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray, Stevie Nicky, Nickel. It's Friday. Jules Theron and Frank LeBeouf are here with us to answer your questions. Hopefully these two can understand me today because they couldn't the other day.
They couldn't what?
They couldn't. I'm not Ready? Falling into that trap.
Well, you just did.
Almost.
You started your sentence.
I started. I was
yeah,
close.
There you go.
All right. That backfired, didn't it?
Aye.
All right. Krish asks, and I'll come to you first, Jules. Why aren't any Premier League clubs trying to poach on Messi? Surely, even with his high wages, he's worth spending money than on other players with high transfer fees.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, it's one thing if you're a club to want someone, but if the player doesn't want to come to you, you can't sign him. I think once the news broke about the sort of fallout between Messi and Barcelona, and that PSG were leading that race very quickly, I think if you're Manchester United, you know there's no point, and you've already signed Varane and Sancho, and you can just, you know, you can't always sign players for the sake of it, even if it's Messi. Same with City, we've explained Grealish and Kane were always the strategy and they're sticking to it. With Chelsea, it's Lukaku, they're sticking to it. And then that's it. That's the only clubs, really, the only three clubs in England who can afford them. Bayern Munich, that's not what they do. In Italy, everybody's broke. And then in Spain, you can't go to Atleti or to Real Madrid. So the only club really is PSG. There's no, it's just the way it is.
And you don't mind it that way at all, Jules, of course. That suits
at all. I mean, I'm going to be even more unbearable.
Okay, Volvo, yup, that's right, my real name, says, and I'll ask you this, Frank, because I think I know some of the answer. If you could go back in time, which game would you like to be at in person? For me, it's the Manchester United-Chelsea Champions League final. Frank, please do not say the 1998 World Cup final.
So a game that I would like to go back and play again.
Would you like to be at in person? Maybe it is to play in then, because that could also suggest that you could go and watch it, because
you.
Well, Frank did miss out on a very, very important game that he didn't go and see, and he had a ticket to go and see. Isn't that right, Frank?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
When you got the chance
Which
to
one?
See Platini
yeah,
in a very famous game.
The 1984 semi-final.
Oh, yes, true. Yeah, because of a lady. Yeah, true. We won't name the lady. I was very young.
So let's do it as a player then, Frank.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, as a player, you know what? I would have loved to replay the final of the FA Cup that we played with Chelsea in 1997 when I won my first trophy with Chelsea. But I think I would have loved, overall, to be in the stand and watch Pelé in a 1970 World Cup final in Mexico. Because, well, no, it's like I'm excited to see Messi playing. I had a chance to see Ronaldo and I interviewed Ronaldo. But, you know, when you can see a player like that live, it's absolutely fantastic. And I would have loved to see that final where
Pelé was absolutely exceptional. And I think it has been a chance for the people in the stand to see that player.
That's a nice one for everybody. What about you, Stevie? You can play RB in the stands.
I'd love to have been at the Brazil-Italy game in the 82 World Cup. I mean, what a game. I'd like to have been at Wembley when Scotland beat England 6-3 when England were the world champions in 1967, I said. A game I'd like to replay again. Well, obviously it would have to be Arsenal in 1989 at Anfield.
Jules, what game would you like to be at in person if you could go back in time?
I think it has to be the Euro 2000 final, and Frank was lucky enough to be there. I was just watching, but because for us, French people, I mean, 98, the final was amazing, and 84 as well, but they were dominant wins and convincing wins. 2000 is a miracle, really, it is. And I'm sorry for UK and all your the Italian side of you and of the family, but that final against Italy, the scenario of it is just exceptional, and I would love to go back in time and be there in Rotterdam in the stadium.
Yeah, don't worry, Jules. I don't speak to that side of the family anymore, of course, after what happened.
Yeah, I knew you didn't.
Yeah, don't worry about it. The colours are deceiving here today. Don't worry about it. All right, Kartik says, Jules and Frank, is aggrandizement a common term in French? This is a word that came up in yesterday's Extra Time.
What's the word?
Aggrandissement is a common term. Aggrandissement.
Aggrandissement.
Yes, it's to make something bigger.
Is it a common term?
Is to make something.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, when you want to make something bigger, you say, yeah, we should make an agrandissement of it.
Ah.
Yeah, of course it is.
See, we just say, let's make it bigger.
Well, actually, Stevie did tell me it is.
We did that in Scotland. In Scotland, we say, let's make that bigger. Then everybody knows what you're saying.
Well, it actually...
Common sense.
Supersize me, please. It is the act of increasing the wealth or prestige or power or scope of something. So, yeah, let's make
it bigger. Yeah, let's make it bigger. Why don't you start with that?
Aggrandissement. As they say, it sounds much nicer, though, doesn't it?
No.
No? Can we get one more from you guys?
Agrandissement.
Oh, I like it. I love it. One time I actually tried to pronounce something in French here on Extra Time, and the top comment on YouTube was cries in French at my pronunciation. So sorry, guys, I butchered your language. Not my forte.
Okay.
Frank Leboeuf says, what do you make of Van Gaal being appointed as the Dutch manager for the third time? Did you ever play for a manager at the same club multiple times, Stevie?
No.
Well, what do you make of him being appointed third time manager there?
Safe pair of hands. There doesn't seem to be an obvious choice. I would personally have liked to have seen them having a bit of a gamble. I mean, Ruud van Nistelrooy's been in the backroom staff there for, three or four years now at least. So... why would you not have given him a chance? But it's a safe pair of hands.
A safe pair of hands. And no doubt, Jules, you'll be happier to see Van Gaal there than you were De Boer, right?
Yeah, I mean, one time we were doing the... another podcast with Gab together for the Times when we were working there as well, and he was at United and I called him a fraud, and it was this moment. I mean, with Gab we still laugh about it because at the time, as you know, with United he was up and down, and I don't know, the word came out almost naturally and things, and we got so much abuse. Well, I got so much abuse by it. Was really funny. The thing that makes me sad is that Holland as a country in terms of football are so innovative, and the way they see the game is so special, and they've had obviously some of the greatest managers, two especially in their history, and to go back to a 70 year old who for the last 5 years has been going into his swimming pool in Portugal as your national team head coach when you've got a really good generation coming through, I find that a bit sad. Don't tell me, like Stevie said, there was not a Ruud van Nistelrooy, an upcoming young manager with good ideas there, being able to do a good job with those players, and that you had to go back to Van Gaal for the third time again. I'm not happy with that.
No, so not happy with the last manager there, not happy with this manager there.
I'm sorry, but something I found strange about what Jules just said. He said that as a French guy, he called Van Gaal a frog. Is that correct, what you said?
No, fraud, fraud.
I saw a frog. I said, well, that's very strange from a French guy to call somebody else a frog, whatever. Okay, a fraud, I got it.
You know that... Frank actually thinks that he said frog.
A frog.
So he's saying he's laughing at a French guy calling somebody else a frog.
I thought you said a fraud.
He did say a fraud.
Yeah, he said a frog. Yeah. Oh, come on, okay.
But Frank thought he said a frog.
I mean, this is the worst extra time ever.
I thought you said frog. Yeah, well, thought ever. He said frog.
Exactly.
He said a fraud. Wow. Okay, I heard question. You, right, Jules. Next question. Okay, Frank, which Manchester club has the best summer transfer window so far? United signing both Sancho and Varane, or City signing Grealish?
Oh. Mm. I would have the tendency to think that Grealish is absolutely a fantastic signing. But I think Manchester United has been clever of signing Varane to sell a little bit better the defensive aspect of Manchester United, and signing a young player with such talents. It's also clever, so I'm sorry. I won't take part, and I won't make a judgment. I think it's depending on the philosophy of the club, I say, and the money of the club. I would say that it's good for Manchester City to sign Grealish, because I think Guardiola has question marks about Sterling, and it's absolutely necessary for Manchester to have signed Sancho and Varane.
Sounds like you're on the fence to me.
Sorry, Frank, I missed the end. I'd stop listening.
Sounds like you're on the fence there. What do you say, Steve?
It's got to be Sancho and Varane. It's got to be United.
So they're gonna win the title then.
Listen, does Grealish make... Is Grealish an upgrade on Sterling? We don't really... You can't with any certainty say he is, right? Is Sancho an upgrade on whoever they want to play on the left-hand side? 100%. Mason Greenwood, right? He's got to be an upgrade there, big time. Is Varane an upgrade? Mm. Absolutely an upgrade. So, has to be Manchester United.
Jules, will you get off the fence for this one?
Yeah, I'm with Stevie. I think United. And if Kane signs for City, then it's a different story. But right now, like Stevie said, I think Grealish makes your team better, for sure, a bit better. But I think Varane and Sancho make a much bigger difference to a United starting 11 than Grealish does to a City starting 11.
Stevie, the clip of you checking your watch is amazing. Why don't players use that move these days? What's this?
I've no idea. I forgot all about that. And I was actually very surprised, because that's not like me.
Can you explain it then, for those who don't know?
Well, we're playing against Wimbledon. At Wimbledon, the old Plough Lane, it was well named, what a place. And I'm in the corner, and towards the end of the game, and Terry Phelan has closed me down. And so I'm standing there, and I'm kind of dancing, and he's kind of dancing. And it almost felt like we'd been there for like 5 minutes. And I'm just thinking to myself, God, how long have we been here? And I kidded on, I had a watch on. But it didn't change anything, and we went back to dancing again. It's like weird. But that was unlike me. I didn't normally get involved in nonsense like that.
Were you just showboating?
I can't deny it was me, yes. But it wasn't like me. I didn't do that a lot.
He's giggling.
Oh my God. You know, that's funny that he thinks that it lasted like very long, where I saw the video of it and he just waited like 2 seconds before showing his watch to Phelan, and Phelan immediately attacked him and he got the ball. So that was completely useless and mostly impatient from Stevie, but that was very funny.
Sounds like Frank's calling you useless.
I couldn't stop laughing.
No, well, Frank hasn't understood the situation.
No, I didn't call him useless. I said that was useless.
We were attacking them.
Yeah, Frank, we were ahead.
And we wasted time. And so what? Went out for a throw-in to us. But so it wasn't completely that was useless funny, waste by the of way. Time.
But it was only 2 seconds.
I know, it's weird though. It seemed like forever.
Right. Stephen Nagishi says, Frank and Jules, and I'll come to you first, Jules. Are you pumped for Olympic basketball finals? France is producing nice players, and Victor Wembanyama is expected to be top three NBA draft pick in 2 years.
Is that him that played for Celtic?
Jules should switch to covering NBA in the US and become the French version of Adrian Wojnarowski, a.k.a. the Woj Bomb. Fancy that, Jules?
I fancy that big time. I mean, if ESPN wants to relocate me in LA or in New York, I'm happy to work with Woj as well and all the other amazing team that we have covering basketball. No problem, no problem at all. I'm really happy. Wembanyama, by the way, is the next prodigy. He's amazing. Imagine Giannis, but with a shooting accuracy at 3 points of 45%. This is that 16-year-old kid who's going to be incredible. So I'm hyped. I'm really... so excited about him, and I'm excited about the final, and I'm going to put the alarm clock on to get up and see France winning winning against the USA again, like they did a few days ago in the group stages.
Frank, are you excited for this Olympic basketball finals?
I am excited, but I'm not going to wake up. I saw the fantastic counter of Nicolas Batum the last second of the game, and I enjoyed the game and the highlights because I didn't follow it. But I'm, of course, excited. I'm behind the French team. I don't really follow NBA. I used to when I was in LA, but I gave up. And I just wish France to win again, as Jules just said, you know, like they beat them the first game. And I think they deserve to be the Olympic champion.
This one for yes. all of
like
you.
In volley, like Go in on. Volley and like in handball.
Volleyball and handball.
Hopefully, France, we're going to win that.
All right. I don't know if you guys are going to win this one. Andas says, Frank and Jules, could you get Stevie to speak French fluently if you were able to teach him for several months? Is it even possible to speak French with a Scottish accent?
Jules, my French was perfect, that message I sent him. It was perfect, Frank.
What was the message?
Jules, what was the message? I can't even remember.
For my birthday, Stevie sent me a lovely birthday message.
So what was the
and
message?
Frank too.
What was the message?
You said joyeux anniversaire in a very strong Scottish accent. I'm not sure if you said properly anniversaire or anniversary, or if you mixed a bit of French and English, but it was very, very cute.
I'll have a go.
I think the problem by teaching Stevie how to speak French is that Stevie has to be willing to learn, and I'm not sure for how long that will last. That's the only thing.
All right, so if you were able to teach him several months, Frank, do you think that you could get him at a decent level?
Yes, because he's an intelligent person. If he's willing to do so, yes. You know what? It's funny that and he can do it. You know, every time you know we're about to record, you know, somebody asks us to count 1 to 10 for the mic to make sure it works. So Stevie can give you a little bit of a lesson of French. When he say that, he says, "What do you say, Stevie?"
1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Nice.
How's that?
Hey. Practically fluent.
Yes.
Easy peasy.
Great start.
Practically fluent. Absolute linguist.
But normally he doesn't say that. Normally he doesn't say that. He really surprised me. Normally he says,
Do you
know any more French?
Pardon? See, I mean, I can't help it. It just flows.
So I think maybe the answer to this is yes.
There's a natural flow to it.
He would be speaking French fluently after a few months with these guys.
Stéphane Nicole.
Ah, bonjour. Julien. Hey, it's just... natural.
Natural. What would he be? What would his name
so
be?
So natural.
How could we make his name more French, guys?
So it would be Stéphane to start with, and then I guess Nicole's would be...
Nicolas.
I've been called that before. You know the scam
Stéphane
callers?
Nicolas,
that would be Nicole.
You know the scam callers? That's what they call me. Is Stéphane there? I'm like, Stéphane, you go, yes, Stéphane Nicole.
There you go.
That's what they say.
Yeah, Stéphane Nicole.
So this is not the first time.
There you go. So I think the answer is yes, he would be speaking French in no time at all with these guys.
I thought I was already.
Anyway, that is it for the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks bonjour, everybody. Bonjour.
Yeah.
Au revoir.
Steady. Steady.
It's good to
see. The old fishing rod out.
I'm done with this show today.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.